Good afternoon, brethren. Well, in about 16 days, Passover is here. A little over 2 weeks. I'd like to ask you a question today, brethren. How important are we to God? You put that down as my title today. How important are we to God? You know, we may have little doubt that God loves us and helps us when we're in serious need. When we are in serious need or trouble. But what about the small little things? The small little things that happen daily when we go to God about. How about those things? You know, the daily decisions, the problems that we might have at work, family quarrels. You know, I can remember it's been 10 years since my brother-in-law passed away with cancer. And I was given his watch. I was out on the golf course. I hadn't had that watch but probably 2 weeks, and I lost it. Flung right off of my arm playing golf. Never even saw it. Couldn't believe I lost it. Couldn't play the rest of the day, and I found out, you know, when I discovered I lost it. I prayed about it. I went to God, and I asked God, I said, Father, help me to find this watch. Please lay it on someone's heart to turn that watch in. Went back to the golf course the next day. I searched for that watch, it seemed like forever, and the watch never showed up. You know, does God care? Well, sure He does. I'm sure that I'll finally see that watch one of these days. God probably knows exactly where it is. You know, are we important enough to God for Him to help us with the little things that seem unimportant? Does God really care whether we have a good night's sleep? Or does He really care about the mechanic that solves the problem or tries to solve the problem with our car? Or will He make our allergies go away? You know, I was talking to my sister on the phone earlier this week, and she told me a little story about, you know, she makes these little harnesses for small dogs, mostly Chihuahuas. And she sent a couple of harnesses to a lady in California, and they didn't fit. And so the lady emailed my sister back and asked her if she could make them a little bigger if she sent them back. So she did send the harnesses back. My sister made them a little bigger. She put them in the mail, I think, the next day. It wasn't until the following day, I think, that she discovered, I didn't put any postage on that package. I know I didn't. So I checked with the mail person the next day, the mailman. Told him about it, and of course he said, it'll usually come right back to your house, just wait a day or so. Well, she was emailed back by this lady and said that the package did arrive. And she said in her email, this must have been God sent. And so the package arrived. No mail, wasn't even stamped at the post office. You know, God is greatly interested, brethren. He's greatly interested in even the smallest of concerns that we may have. God has a great deal of interest in our personal lives. With all the things that are going on, you know, you would think that God doesn't have time for us, but He does. I would like to take a moment in this sermonette and look at it in God's perspective. You know, we as true Christians, all of us here in this room are member of God's true church. We didn't just stumble upon the truth. I was talking to James earlier. We were talking about how we came into the church. You know, it's not an accident that you picked up the Plain Truth magazine or heard the broadcast on the radio or saw a television broadcast. You know, God the Father, our great God and Creator, the supreme being, the one who is above all, who knows all, and who rules all, look down at the hearts of individual human beings as he has the power to do. Let's turn to Psalms in chapter 11. Psalms in chapter 11, in verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. So God is looking down, brethren, today. He was then when he called us. You know, you think about it for a minute. Millions of people God left in the dark when he called us. Millions and millions of people are left in the dark. But he chose you and he chose me individually by name. You know, I really believe that God has mentioned our names in heaven. I think he did. I think it was pronounced by God and Father and our wonderful older brother, Jesus Christ, in the hearing of maybe angelic beings. It was just like someone trying to pick someone for a job. You can look at it that way. You know, all of the people that are in all these corporations, they try to figure out who is the best choice. The same way with God. God has looked down and he's pointed at you. And he's pointed at me. And he said, I want Charlie Sanders to be one of my firstborn. I want put your name there to be one of my firstborn. Your eyes he opened, brethren. Your eyes he opened to the truth. He selected you to be one of his children now, not later. God's purpose, brethren, has always been and always will be, as long as we're here, as long as we're physical. His purpose is creating humanity, to reproduce himself. That's how he's doing it. He wants to bring others in as members of God's family, of his family. God is concerned with anything and everything. No matter how small, no matter how insignificant it seems, that could affect in any way the quality of the final work of art. The finished product. We're not done yet. That's why Passover is so, so important. We will not be done until we are changed. When God does something, he does it what? He does it perfectly. He doesn't make any mistakes. That's why Christ described our destiny as that of becoming perfect. You can write down Matthew in chapter 5 and verse 48. It's a temporary physical life that we're living now. Building holy, righteous character. Overcoming. When God has completed his will in us, there shall not remain the slightest spot, the slightest wrinkle. Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 27. Basic stuff, isn't it? But so, so, so real. We shall be holy and without blemish, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 19. Yes, brethren, we are being fully prepared as God's spiritual temple. We are being shaped to fit perfectly in the place being prepared for us in God's kingdom. John chapter 14, verse 3. But you know, sometimes God allows us to suffer a long time, doesn't he? In a trial before he intervenes. We don't have to know why in this lifetime. You know, I question that watch. I don't know How long? You know, it just seems like I just kept bringing that up. Let it go, let it go, let it go. God is the builder. He's the engineer. He knows what shape we need to be in, to fit into His overall design. We must never, ever forget that. We're all pieces of flesh. He knows how to knock off the rough edges. He knows how to smooth and polish the surface to make the us, you, all of you in here, fitly framed together. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 21. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the eternal. And in verse 22, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So the emphasis here is, it's not flesh, it's Spirit. It's what we are to become. You know, our son used to have a t-shirt when he was very small. It had a picture of a cartoon, like a little boy, I think it was on the front. And under the picture were the words, I can remember, I know I'm worth something, cause God don't make no junk. I remember that t-shirt. You know, we are called, specifically named and chosen by God. We are worth much, much to Him. He has invested a lot in us. And believe it or not, we occupy a prominent place in His attention. In His attention, we really do. He is forming, He's molding, He's shaping, He's fashioning us with His highest workmanship. That's nothing new, is it? But the Holy Days gives us an opportunity to get back to why we were called, why we are keeping the Passover. And God does not make junk. Although we were probably close to junk when God called us. I know I was. Nothing we do, brethren, is hidden from God. Nothing that you and I do is hidden from God. Nothing can be kept from Him. That's a pretty awesome thought. It's almost scary. You know, this past week, I had the opportunity. I made myself fast. I've been trying to fast for I don't know how long. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. You know, Satan is always wanting to try to get in there and disturb a fast as he can when you start thinking about doing it. And then a day goes by and you think, wow, I could have done it today. I didn't have that many problems. But I made myself get up, had some oatmeal, drank some coffee, and I said, I'm going to fast today. I've got to. Now think about this for a minute. You know, we've all read in Exodus, think about what was involved in the slaying of the firstborn of the Egyptians at the time of Exodus. And we've read this story over and over again. For God to know whom to kill, He had to know who all the firstborn were. Now, you know, I listened to that many, many times. But until I fasted, I really couldn't quite comprehend the power and the greatness of God. You know, that means that God had to know the order of birth of every individual in Egypt. I don't know how big Egypt was, how many people. From Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the captive who was in the dungeon. You know, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Among all humans in Egypt, old and young, God had to know that. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 29, don't turn there. I don't have enough time here to turn there, but it says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all of the firstborn of livestock." That was what was really mind-boggling. God had to know who the first was in each family. I mean, that's, you know, only God could do that. That night, God also killed the firstborn of the Egyptians' beast. And then I got to thinking, wow. You know, and you know, you expect him maybe to know about the humans and how mind-boggling that was, but the beasts. So he had to know the birth order of all the animals in Egypt included under the death sentence. And no telling how old some of the animals may have been or under what circumstances they were born. God knew which ones were the first of their mothers. Now, do you think God knows the intimate details of your life and my life less than those beasts in ancient Egypt? I think so. Of course, he says we are more value than any of the sparrows. But, you know, it took me to fast to really grasp the power and the great glory of the great awesomeness of God. Here, in closing, brethren, here as we are preparing to take the Passover in a couple of weeks, a couple of days, 16 days, we need to be thinking about our relationship with God and where we stand in God's big picture. Are we making strides to overcome the sin in our lives? Are we changing the things in our lives that could keep us out of God's kingdom? Trying to truly become a child of God. You know, we need to take advantage of the tremendous privilege, and it is a tremendous privilege that is ours as one of God's chosen. We need to seek God's help in all of our situations and ask Him to deliver us from the sin that separates us from Him. And as redundant as sometimes it seems every single year, and it's more difficult and more difficult each year that goes by to prepare for Passover. I don't know how, it seems like it gets tougher and tougher as the years go by. We are being prepared as a spiritual temple. So just take all of your weaknesses, brethren. All that you want to change, bring all that burdens you, weighs you down. And gather it all together, brethren, and lay it on the eternal. That's what He wants us to do. His back is strong and His shoulders are broad. Psalms in chapter 37 and verse 5 says, "Trust also in Him and He shall bring it to pass." Faith. You know you need to do something, but you can't do it because you don't have enough faith. You can't understand. You can't seem to comprehend what is going to happen. You know what you need to do, but you can't do it. We need to focus with Passover 2 weeks away. We need to get down to our own relationship with God. This is the time to look at ourselves and understand how important we are to God.